wondrous treasure that I find in Jesus Christ my Lord. Fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up and make me whole. So my brother, if the things this world gave you leave hungers that won't pass away, my blessed Lord will come and save you. If you kneel to him and humbly pray,
service this evening. Let us use all by turning to 145A.
Oh! this beautiful special that has been sung. It isn't often that I think of a caption for a sermon, but tonight I thought it might be appropriate, and it is, "The righteous need not fear." I would like to read a passage of scripture from 1 Nephi, the 7th chapter, starting with verse 34 through 37. And it is the one I've taken the caption from. And I want us to note tonight these various things. I have a desire this night to bring out things that are very pertinent of our day, things that are transpiring. I believe, according to Scripture, that we have entered the first part of the last days. I want us to be aware of several things that are taking place in this time, but in this, I want to hold out responsibility to each one of you. I want to hold out as well, not only responsibility, but hope, because in the confines of these Scriptures, there is hope and courage if we will but rely upon God His Son, Jesus Christ. And so I would like to read, "For the time soon cometh that the fullness of the wrath of God shall be poured out upon the children of men. For he will not suffer that the wicked shall destroy the righteous. Wherefore he will preserve the righteous by his power, even if it so be that the fullness of his wrath must come, and the righteous be preserved even unto the destruction of their enemies by fire. Wherefore, the righteous need not fear, for thus saith the prophet, they shall be saved, even if so be as by fire." And so this passage of Scripture I wish to build upon tonight, for to me it is a Scripture of hope, a Scripture of courage. And if we will but rely upon this wonderful Scripture, we'll realize that we can go through this time of trouble, this time of trial that has been prophesied most certainly will take place. And I'm sure, according to the prophets of old, and also of Jesus Christ when he walked the face and breadth of this earth, he prophesied in the day in which we live. And I believe these things will be fulfilled in their every detail. And these things were not written by chance. They were written for a very definite purpose before God. And so I hope and pray this night that I might be able to touch each one of us with a desired commitment in our lives to serve him more fully. And I would like to back up to this one here. It says, "Wherefore he will preserve the righteous by his power." And I would like to turn to another passage of Scripture in the 3rd chapter of this same first book of Nephi. And it's found in verses 230 and 231. In fact, I may back up and read another verse. In fact, I'll start with number 229. "And it came to pass that I beheld that great mother of abomination did gather together in multitudes upon the face of all the earth, among all the nations of the Gentiles, to fight against the Lamb of God." Now, when we think on this, this shows a fact that has not yet transpired, but will transpire in every detail. "And it came to pass that I, Nephi, beheld the power of the Lamb of God," and that's what I want to stress, "that it descended upon the saints of the church of the Lamb, and upon the covenant people of the Lord, who were scattered upon all the face of the earth. And they were armed with righteousness," that is the way, "and with the power of God and great glory." Now over here I brought out, "Wherefore he will preserve the righteous by his power," in the 7th chapter of this same book. And also it says, "The righteous need not fear." So to me tonight, these are words of encouragement in a troubled day. But yet I cannot soft pedal for one moment the day in which you and I live. We must realize it is a great day. It is even a day the prophets of old looked forward to, but they've passed on. They would have desired to have been here to see what you and I are seeing. And so it is a great day, even though there is many discouragements, there is many heartaches, and they're on their increase. We cannot deny that. But in all this, within the written confines of these holy scriptures, there is courage and strength for everyone that will avail ourselves of it. And we note here, very plainly indicating that they were armed with righteousness and with the power of God in great glory. And I would like to read just one more verse here in 2:32. And it came to pass that I beheld that the wrath of God was poured out upon the great and abominable church, insomuch that there were wars and rumors of wars among all nations and kindreds of the earth. Now we find that there are harmonizing scriptures to this point in the Bible as well, and some of them I will touch upon tonight. But this time of trial and trouble, I would like for the moment to turn to Daniel, the 12th chapter. This is found in the first verse. I just want to touch a bit of this verse. As he spoke, he said of a time of trouble down in the middle of it, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time, thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. Now again, even though Daniel saw a time of trouble, now what was this time of trouble supposed to be? All you have to do is look to the fourth verse, and Daniel further had this to say. You know, first though, I wish to say this. Daniel saw a lot of things of a prophetical nature. Some have already transpired, some yet to transpire. He saw things that are pertinent of our day. He saw things that are pertinent to the restoration of the Church of Christ in these last days. And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed and will not be left to other people. And I don't want to get involved too much in that, but that was a part of the things wherein the restoration came about, wherein the Church of Christ was restored in the year 1830. Well, let's go here. Daniel was told a very significant thing, to shut up the words, seal up the book of Daniel, that is, even to the time of the end. I want you to notice that, the time of the end. And I believe there's other scriptures that do point us beyond the latter days, point us to the last days, which I really believe we have entered. And then he says, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. How accurately Daniel saw the day that you and I live in. Never has been there a time in history wherein man has been able to run to and fro as they're able to do today. They can cross great oceans to another continent and be there in a matter of hours. We each are a part of going to and fro. There is no nation that has as many automobiles and convenient and conveyances as the United States of America. Truly, they do run to and fro, and knowledge certainly is being increased at such a rate beyond any rate in history. They're even worrying now where they're going to store all the things they got. And we're so tied with so many things today. You just shut off the electricity, you couldn't get gas, you couldn't get groceries out of a grocery store, and there's little else that you could do. We're tied to computers today. One of the marvels of our day. Go to a grocery store in a few lines and run across a scanner, and it tells you, milk, $1.98. That's a marvel. You go to certain other stores, and they punch a few buttons. It programs it in there. It takes the inventory and orders the items so that they won't be out of stock. And indeed, it's getting wise. But we better be careful how we use our wisdom. There is a scripture that says to be learned is good if you hearken unto the counsels of God. So don't forget that either. Yes, indeed, we do live in a day of trial and trouble. I would like to turn over to the book of Matthew, to the teachings of Jesus Christ in the 24th chapter. This is found in verses 32 through about 35. And so Christ told a group of people then, and it's written for our benefit, and he spoke of the parable of the fig tree. And we know this is true with any tree. When you see it put forth the tender shoots of spring, the new leaves, you know that summer is nigh, and any child here knows that spring's coming when he sees the leaves come out and sees certain flowers come up. It is a part of the signs that summer will be there. And so, Christ went on to say this. So likewise, when you shall see all these things, and I'm going to touch on some of these things, and I've already touched upon some of them, and Daniel mentioned that it would be a day of trouble. He also mentioned that it would be a day of great knowledge, and man should run to and fro. He says, when you see all these things, know that it is near. What is near? The time of the end and the second coming of Jesus Christ. It is even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation, if these things are taking place, now that isn't here, but this generation, and all this is happening, shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And so tonight, each one of you in this room can take courage, because the words of God and Jesus Christ will not pass away. Man might try to figure out a better way, another way. Man might figure out a way to deal with the times in which we end. Maybe a new moral code or whatever you wish to call it. He might try to excuse himself in some of his imperfections and his lust of the flesh and other things because of the day in which we live. But let me tell you, Christ and God are the same yesterday, today, and forever. What God said to Adam, Moses, Noah, Abraham, Nephi, Paul, and right down to the time we live, it is the same. He expects no more and no less from any person who will ever live upon the face of this earth. He only expects according to your ability to serve. He knows that every person's capacity is different. Not one alike in this room. But he expects full measure according to the talents he has given. And so give him full measure. So it is with the ways of God. His word does not change. We find in Isaiah, the 40th chapter and the 8th verse, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. That is an important verse, an encouraging verse of the greatness. I would like to turn to one in 2 Samuel, the 22nd chapter, because it too pertains rather well, I believe. And this is found in verses 31 through 33. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. I don't want you to forget that for a moment. I want you to put it in your remembrance, not only for this service tonight, but for the days ahead. The ways of man are not that sure. But the word of the Lord is tried. It's worked for everybody that's ever lived upon the face of this earth who will avail themselves of it. If you don't avail yourselves of it, it will not bear fruit. That is a certainty. He is a buckler. In other words, he is one who protects and shields to all them that trust in him. So I hope tonight to install in you a greater desire to trust and rely upon God in Christ. The things that you've learned to accept as commonplace today, let me tell you, they will not always be commonplace. Some of them may be our possessions. Some may be some of the niceties of life that we each enjoy. I enjoy them and you enjoy them. And tonight it's nice to have electricity in this room. Otherwise I might have a candle here. But nonetheless, we might not always have these things. But let me tell you, if we take Jesus Christ into our heart and fully serve him, he can be our buckler and our stay in that time of trouble, no matter what it is. For who is God? Save the Lord. And who is a rock? Save our God. Now, is not that plain? God is my strength. And oh, that we might say that tonight. And our power. Even in his writer of old said, and he maketh my way perfect. So let us not forget that this night. Let us think upon these rather important works of God. Now I would like to turn to the first part of the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew. I'm having a bit of trouble trying to keep up with my pages, but I'm still succeeding. Anyway, in this first part, the third through the eighth verses, I would like to touch upon it because these are some of the things that will be a part of that day. And all these things will come to pass. And it says, when you see these things taking place, know that it's near, even at your door. And so the apostles or disciples of Jesus Christ of old came to him, even as we might desire more about our day. And they desired, what is the time of the end of the world? And what shall be thy coming? They wanted to know. And so Jesus Christ said, take heed that no man deceive you. And I intend to come back to this a bit later. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Think upon that. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. Now if you'll put on your remembrance and think of another scripture I read a bit ago, some of these very thoughts I bring out, you'll see how well they parallel with the vision that Lehi and Nephi saw. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. And like Luke said, there will be great earthquakes. All these are what? What do you suppose they are? The beginning of the sorrows. And you might say, oh my goodness. Yeah, we might have reason to say, oh my goodness. But in all this, there's still hope. The righteous need not fear. No matter how dark the way may seem, it is about. There is a way, that word I've spoken of, and we so often touch upon that rod of iron, which is a representation of the Word of God. As surely as you cling to that rod of iron, it will lead you through these midst of darkness or the temptations of the devil. It will lead you through that with surety, if you will but cling to it. And I don't desire to go in all that marvelous vision tonight. There really isn't time, maybe, for all I want to bring out. It seems like there's a lot of things when I was preparing here, and other things came to my attention, and I don't have any idea how long they'll be. But I won't keep you too late. Anyway, I would like to back up to this passage of Scripture. Take heed that no man deceive you. I believe we're living in a day of great deception upon the face of this earth. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Now, some of you heard me tell of this experience I had. I believe it was in 1979 as I traveled to a Phoenix reunion through the state of California. And as I traveled a busy freeway, this passage of Scripture came to me with certain power. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. In other words, there will be many in the day that we live within that will proclaim that Christ is the way of salvation. But it says they will deceive many. And then a frightening thought came to me. This didn't say a few will come and deceive a few. It says many will come and deceive many. And then the thought came to me, who are these many? And I really don't care to get involved in that tonight or point the finger at anyone. But I do know we must be very careful. I heard recently one who speaks on television and has quite an audience make a statement. This is what he said. Sunday is a day of worship and a day of recreation. And I thought, what a strange statement to use them right side by side. And that's the way most of the world is making it today. Some worship and then they spend a lot of the day in recreation. But it isn't the way the Scripture really teaches it. And then another sermon I heard preached, and it's mentioned four prominent religions of the day, and I don't care to name them, I know them. And it says, and then he went on to indicate it didn't matter what these four or others. He says, if you have took these into your life, you're part of the Church of Christ. That's a bit different doctrine than it really should be. And again, I'm not really trying to point the finger at that person, but I want you to be careful, because this is a day of deception. And many things that are purported to be the right way really aren't the right way. You better weigh them carefully with the Scripture. And it didn't say a few, it said many. I want to turn over to Colossians, the second chapter and the eighth verse. And just read this one verse of Scripture, because it fits what I brought out so well. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the certain people. And he spoke concerning a book that would come forth. And I'm reading out of that book today. I'd like to start verse 2 really. And the things which shall be written out of the book shall be of great worth unto the children of men. And that is the Book of Mormon. Especially unto our seed. Specifically the Indian peoples, as we would refer them today. Which is a remnant of the house of Israel. For it shall come to pass in that day, this book has only been around since 1829, but it's coming on down to a time when there will be a great worth, so it's coming right down to a later time. And it says, in that day, that the churches which are built up, and not unto the Lord, when the one shall say to the other, behold, I am the Lord, and the other shall say, I am the Lord. And thus shall everyone say that hath built up churches and not unto the Lord. But note this next part, and note it carefully, because it goes back to that philosophy and the rudiments of this world. And they shall contend one with another, and their priests shall contend one with another, and they shall teach what with their learnings.
and deny the Holy Ghost which giveth utterance. You know, before I get any further here, I need to turn to the book of Galatians to show you the way the Apostle Paul did. First chapter. Verses 11 through 12. Now, he was one of the learned men of that day. And I dare say he had the equivalent of a college or a university education, whatever it was. He is a learned man of that day. Did he rely upon his learning? That's what it said people would do in this day. Well, let's read what he says. Verses 11 and 12 in the first chapter of Galatians. But I certify, so this is a true thing, you brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received of a man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now that is a different way. And that really is the only way if one is going to successfully present this gospel of Jesus Christ, it must be under the gift and power of the Holy Ghost. Yet, Nephi saw a day wherein man would teach with their own learning and deny the Holy Ghost which giveth utterance. And they deny the power of God. And it's that power of God that's going to help you stand one day. And you better believe it. They were armed with righteousness and the power of God in great glory. That's the way they will be able to stand. And that is a prophetical thing yet will take place. And they deny the power of God, the Holy One of Israel. And they say unto the people, hearken unto us, and hear ye our precept. For behold, there is no God today. For the Lord and the Redeemer hath done his work, and he hath given his power unto men. Behold, hearken ye unto my precept. If they shall say there is a miracle wrought by the hand of God, believe it not. For this day he is not a God of miracles. He hath done his work. And you know, we heard all this. I even heard with our read this, with our marvelous knowledge today, we really don't need God as much. And with all our nice hospitals and good doctors, we really don't need all this healing from God as much. That's false, vain, and foolish doctrine. I'm going to back up to this one. And there are those also who say, for behold, there is no God today, for the Lord and the Redeemer have done his work and given his power to men. You know, there was a person of old, and I want to turn to him, and he was Corihor, the 16th chapter of the book of Alma. He believed some false and foolish doctrine. Listen, turn to that, because all these things are for an example, I believe. This is on page 414, and I'm just going to read verse 60 for our benefit. I'm not going to go into all the details of this, because Alma was trying to teach Corihor the way of life and hold it out to him. And he kept saying, well, if you'll just show me a sign, I'll believe it. So let's read. Now Corihor said unto him, unto Alma, I do not deny the existence of a God. I want you to notice the philosophy of this guy and the thinking. But I do not believe there is a God. I don't deny the existence of one, but I don't believe there is one. That's double talk. And I say also that ye do not know there is a God, and except ye show me a sign, I will not believe. So Alma showed him a sign. He says, you're going to be dumb from here on. You'll never be able to speak again. And then we find over here the chief judge saw this. He put forth his hand and wrote to Corihor and says, in verse 63, art thou convinced of the power of God? He wanted it. He saw it now. Well, let's read what happened from 67 down through about 69. But behold, the devil hath deceived me. Well, wait, I'll read 66. And Corihor put forth his hand and wrote, saying, I know that I am dumb. Couldn't argue against that, that's for sure. For I cannot speak. And I know that nothing, save it were the power of God, could bring this upon me. Yea, I also know that there was a God. Why would they listen sooner? But there are those today that might desire this same thing. But behold, the devil hath deceived me, for he appeared unto me in the form of an angel. So we don't want to ever try to second guess the devil. For he can appear as a minister of righteousness, and his angels can even appear as angels of light. So we don't want to second guess the power of the devil. Not for a moment. For he appeared unto me in the form of an angel and said unto me, go and reclaim this people, for they have all gone astray after an unknown God. And he said unto me, there is no God. That's a dangerous philosophy if anybody says that. And he taught me that which I should say. And I've taught this word, and I taught them because they were pleasing unto the carnal mind. It really sounded good to the carnal mind, but it wouldn't sound very wise to the spiritual mind. And I taught them, and listen to this, even until I had much success. He convinced a lot of people, insomuch that I verily believed they were true. That's scary. He taught this wrong so long that he verily believed they were true and thought he was doing that what was right. And for this cause I withstood the truth, even until I brought this great curse upon me. Then he wanted Alma to take it off. But Alma said, if I did, you'd do the same thing again. And this poor fellow, you know what happened to him? He was in a place he couldn't speak and talk, and the people run upon him. They run over him until they killed him. Kind of a sad end. But I want to read you the moral of the story in verse 77. And this, don't kid yourself. The devil is behind every bit of that, behind what happened to Korihor and every other evil thing. And here's the moral of the story. And thus we see the end of him who perverteth the ways of the Lord. And thus we see that the devil will not support his children at the last day, but to speedily drag them down to hell. So we better rely on that great power of God. We better unify our forces behind God and Jesus Christ. We better rely upon the written word, that word that is tried and sure, because philosophy of man certainly is not tried and sure, but the word of our God shall stand forever. How important that is that we learn to rely completely upon this. I would now like to turn to the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew again. This is found, I'd start reading in verse 21, and we'll read down through 24. Some more of the things of this day that precedes the second coming of Christ. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Daniel saw a time of trouble such as had never been since there was a nation, even down to that time. See how these scriptures tie together? I never cease to marvel at this. The Bible, the Book of Mormon, the writers of old, the New Testament writers, they tie together. Why shouldn't it be? If the power of God is behind. And we can pull together the same way with the power of God. There is where our strength should be, our trust should be in the God of heavens and in His Son. Tell us about this time of tribulation, and except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then, if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there, and listen to this verse, For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets. What are they going to be doing? Stuff that everybody can tell real readily? Let's read. And shall shew great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. So don't ever, for a moment, underestimate the power of the devil. Look what he did to Corey Hart, the poor fellow. I feel sorry for him. And the devil does not support his children in the last day. He leadeth them carefully by a flaxen cord, just a little bit to get them going that way, till he can bind them with his strong cords forever. Heartache, sorrow, distress, discouragement. He loves it. Well, you know, he was once an angel of light, but he desired things he shouldn't desire, to exalt his throne above the stars of heaven. He fell. He become a devil. He become miserable. And the Book of Mormon says he desires the misery of all mankind. He's been working on it ever since he fell. No, we don't have to give him the victory, because the Apostle Paul told what the victory was through Jesus Christ and his resurrection, and through our service to God in Christ. Our reasonable service this day of following them and keeping their commandments and putting our trust in them. Yes, the devil will shew some great signs and wonders. Careful we must be. If we would just turn to the 11th and 12th verses, it also says, and many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many will wax cold. Another thing, a part of our day, that wonderful pure love waxing cold. There's many of these points I'd like to enlarge upon, but I better not tonight. I would like to turn now to Luke, the 21st chapter. Because these different writers give a little different insight on a number of things. And this is found in verses 25 and 26. Some of the things that would take place, I believe, in the last days. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity. And that's uncertainty. The sea and the waves roaring. And certainly there is distress of nations today. It is getting greater every day. There is distrust between nations. I really don't know hardly anyone that really fully trusts another. And certainly, the nation of the United States of America was founded upon freedom and equal rights for every person. Once was looked upon by the whole world. And now, most of the world look down upon this great nation. Distress of nations with uncertainty taking place before our eyes. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars. I guess I read that. Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Yes, how accurately Christ saw many things happen before our eyes. Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, the powers of heaven will be shaken. Now, last Sunday evening we heard reference to series of articles entitled Armed and Angry. And I don't intend to go too much into them tonight, but I just want to briefly touch on there something that probably most of you have read, but I have at least three of the four, in which a reporter interviewed certain peoples who have designed to arm themselves. They no longer trust in our society. They're arming themselves, and it's kind of a scary thing, really, what they're doing. I literally say I believe this may involve millions. Because one person had said that he had become a millionaire in selling such supplies of survival supplies and food and even night glasses that cost $8,000 apiece so people could see to shoot at night or see at night. People spending terrific sums of money, $20,000, $50,000, some less, some more, for survival, arming themselves, having people train them in the ways of battle, martial arts, self-training of individuals that they might know how to preserve themselves in time of trial or trouble. So if we think upon this, it's something that should concern us. Because even a part of that one there showed that one person had gotten arms and ammunition and was taking a survival course and was teaching his 10-year-old son how to shoot. Some of them are putting foods aside that they might have it for themselves, but also many of them express that they would not desire to share it with somebody else. It's far different from the way programmed and outlined in the Holy Scripture. Some even writing as posses of old did, trying to do what they consider lawful, but all too often they're on the opposite side of the assurance. Tax revolt advocated by some. Some even organizing themselves as religions, donating their things to religion, and this way they can take off their donations as tax deductions. And even get to the place where they can give it away and apply for welfare. Applying for minister's license under some strange religions. Indeed, we live in a day that we must be aware. And really, I could spend a lot of time on this, which I recently did in a sermon in our area, but I don't desire to really get too involved in it. But it's worth tying it here, because there is a people that are armed and angry. Many designed on if it's necessary to take the law in their own hands. Well, let's read what the Scripture says on this from the book of Proverbs, the 29th chapter. And this is found in verses 22 through 25. An angry man stirreth up strife. That really isn't the way, is it? And like I've said, I don't care how many arms you have or how much ammunition you have. The only way of survival in this day will be because of your hope in Jesus Christ and God. Because you put your faith in them. Not in the arm of flesh. The arm of flesh never sustained anybody, and it never will. If you lay up treasures upon earth, they will come to naught. But if you lay up treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt them, nor thieves cannot break through or steal, nobody can take it from you. What we find in that passage of Scripture, we're told where our heart is, our treasure is also. And so an angry man stirreth up strife, a furious man aboundeth in transgression. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Whoso is partner with a thief hateth his own soul. He heareth cursing and bewrayeth it not. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. So to me, again, it shows what God can do. Let's turn to 2 Chronicles, the 32nd chapter. Again, showing what happened in days of old. And I like some of these old examples. It's actually found in the 32nd chapter in verses 7. This is the way a king of old handled a serious situation. King Hezekiah, the king of Judah, when the Assyrians were trying to take them over, he relied upon the Lord. Verse 7. Be strong, he told his people, and courageous. Strong in the Lord. not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him, for there be more with us than with him. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. So he stayed the people. They rested upon these encouraging words of Hezekiah of old. And I hope you each today have taken courage from these words, because the arm of flesh will not sustain you, but those that be with us, if we rely upon God, are more than they that be with them. There's one here in 2 Kings that I also would like to turn to, because it ties rather well with this. In the days of one Elisha, I believe I might have used this last year in a sermon, but like I said, don't fear, because sometimes I like to use scriptures over time and time again. We like to have a bit of repetition, you know. Even the writers of old did that. We read one chapter of one and turn to the next one, and the writer is still trying to drill it into the people, the same message. So this is the way it is. But we find in the 6th chapter of the book of Kings, and this is found in verses, maybe 14 through 17. It's really a little more than that. But we find again, it was those of Syria was troubled because the king of Israel seemingly could not be found. Most of them. They were averting the traps that the king of Syria were trying to set up. And the king of Syria came in and wanted to know, who here is for them and not for us? They said, none of us. God is telling us. Elisha, what's going to take place? He goes tell the king. So this king says, tell me where he is. And so they went down there at night where Elisha was, and they compassed this city about. And it said here, they compassed it about with a great host, horses and chariots, in verse 15. And when the servant of the Lord, the man of God, was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. You today, if we was in a serious condition and about us there was a huge array of armed forces, our heart might fear. And this young man, he feared that night. He really feared. And he says, alas, my master, how shall we do? What are we going to do? And Elisha, I'm sure it was in a nice, calm way, answered and said, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they. So, rely upon God and Christ. Just think what could be. And I want to show you what was with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes, that young man's eyes, that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Elisha wasn't scared. He knew what he had there. And now the young man wouldn't have any reason to be scared either. For they that be with us are more than they that be with them. I would like to turn to the 34th Psalm. 17 through 19. Note this closely. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord, and note this closely, is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. So I want to point out responsibility to each one of you tonight. You must come unto him with a broken heart, and save us such as be of a contrite spirit. You know, Christ taught a similar doctrine to those upon this continent here when he taught his disciples of old here. Broken heart and a contrite spirit, the important. Now listen to this. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. It didn't say this is all this going to be everything without any problem or trial in this life. There's going to be affliction, and you're going to be tried. But the Lord can deliver you out of them all. You can stand with the help of the Lord. Another that I didn't intend to bring out. Another one of my favorite scriptures, so don't tire when I use it. Alma told one of his sons, 17th chapter, 3rd verse. He did know that whosoever put their trust in God would be supported in their trials and their troubles and their afflictions. He didn't say he wasn't going to have them. He just said he wouldn't be supported. But the last part of that beautiful statement is, and shall be lifted up to the last, and be lifted up to the last day. And that would mean, it infers, living with God and Christ in eternity. If we'd back up to this reading in Psalms, third chapter, verses 3 through 6. And I hope that you might take the same courage as David of old did when he wrote this. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy city, Selah. I laid me down. Slept. I await for the Lord sustain me. No. There is a verse that's really got some meat in it, isn't it? I laid me down and slept, and the Lord sustained me. It isn't because you had a 45 on one side of your bed and a 30-06 on the other side, you know. It isn't because you had a long sword or a quiver of arrows. He knew what sustained him. It was the Lord God of Israel. And then he went on to say, I will not be afraid of 10,000 of people that have set themselves against me round about. A little different way of wording it, if we might, but I kind of like it anyway. It sounds good. Not be afraid of 10,000 people round about, bent on doing you harm. I would like to turn back to that opening passage of Scripture that I used. 1 Nephi, the 7th chapter, found on page 75. And I'd just like to go over part of this and read a little bit more with it, starting with verse 34. For the time soon cometh that the fullness of the wrath of God shall be poured out upon the children of men. The time soon cometh when this will be a reality. Now I want to back up and read something that I didn't read before. And this is found in verses 26 through 30. And the blood of the great and abominable church, which is the whore of all the earth, shall turn upon their own heads. For they shall war among themselves. And you know, really, I brought another passage of Scripture a little earlier to your attention, and I want to reread that one too. This is found on page 41. It's verse 232. And it came to pass that I beheld the wrath of God was poured out upon the great and abominable church, insomuch that there were wars and rumors of wars among the nations, all the nations and kindreds of the earth. I just want to show you how all this ties together tonight. For they shall war among themselves, verse 27 on 74, and the sword of their own hand shall fall upon their own heads, and they shall be drunken with their own blood. And every nation that shall war against thee, and note this, O house of Israel, shall be turned one against another. Everyone that shall war against the house of Israel shall be turned one against another. And they shall fall into the pit which they have digged to ensnare the people of the Lord. And all that fight against Zion shall be destroyed. So we better be sure where we set our goals for. Going over to verse 35. For he will not suffer that the wicked shall destroy the righteous. Wherefore he will preserve the righteous by his power, even if it so be that the fullness of his wrath must come, and the righteous be preserved, even unto the destruction of their enemies by fire. Wherefore the righteous need not fear, for thus saith the prophet, they shall be saved, even if so be as by fire. Behold, my brethren, I say unto you that these things must shortly come. Yea, even blood and fire and vapor of smoke must come. And it must needs be upon the face of this earth that you and I are living upon. And it cometh unto men according to the flesh. That's why they followed the arm of flesh. That's why, if it so be that they will harden their hearts against the Holy One of Israel. For behold, the righteous shall not perish. For the time surely must come that all they who fight against Zion shall be cut off. I have one other related closing scripture from Malachi. This is found in the third chapter of Malachi. Starting with verse 16. A part of our commitment. A part of our fear of the Lord in holding Him in His proper respect in all His name. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened. What a wonderful God He was. And heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before Him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon His name. You know, all these scriptures kind of tie together. There was a part of that one over there that I didn't bring out in Daniel, the 12th chapter. And this is just a related verse. You don't have to fear. I don't have too many more. Anyway, this one said about the time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time, and then this is a part that parallels what I've just read. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. And this is the book. The Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before Him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon His name. So it is vital, it is critical, it is crucial. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. And I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serves.